I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And we'll begin in Romans chapter 1 with verse 16 in just a moment. I want to share with you some things that I hope you'll help me pray with. I've been praying earnestly about some things and believe that God has given some spiritual breakthrough in matters, and I'm very excited about that. I'm praising God for answers to prayer. There is a spiritual struggle in every life of a Christian, every Christian, where we're seeking after the Lord and desiring to know exactly what God has for us. And I think I share that with you and you share that with me. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. So very thankful for your prayers. I'm giving just an introductory remark, really. I have an answer from God about the message I'm supposed to preach, and it's not this particular message. It's the follow-up from this, but this is an introduction to it. And I want you to write the subject down. Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to God? We've done an amazing job in most places of making the finest display of religion possible. Spit-shined and polished, best foot forward, all of it. But whatever happened to God? Someone said to me recently, a pastor recently, that all across the land he's seeing churches who are more involved in entertainment and performance than anything else. I say to those people, whatever happened to God? The motive, the previous, the beginning, the reason for all of it is supposed to be the Lord. But whatever happened to God? It's easy for us to talk about what happened to man, because the sinful creature we refer to as man witnesses his sinful behavior every day. But what we fail to realize most of the time is what's happened to man has happened because of what has happened to God previously. In Romans chapter 1, begin with verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want you to mark these expressions, please, in verse 24. God also gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them up. God gave them up to uncleanness, to vile affections, and then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. As God describes for us the evil behavior of man, the question we ask is, how did he get this bad? Where did it start? The Bible says, notice please in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the image of God. The worship was no longer the worship of God. It is now the worship of man. Now what God has described for us here is the fact that he wants to make himself known. Look how the Lord makes himself known. The Word of God says in verse 17 of chapter 1, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How? From faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm a person of faith. You're a person of faith. I've asked God to forgive my sin, and by faith I trusted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. We know that God came into the world, was robed in flesh. He became a man without ceasing to be God. He made himself known to us. He made himself known so that we might know God, know who he is, what he's like. And the God and the person of God the Son walked on this earth and was rejected of men, went to the cross, bled and died for our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose from the grave on the third day alive forevermore, ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit in the world to reprove of sin, righteousness, and judgment, to indwell every believer forever, and give us the responsibility to tell people about the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches us. But whatever happened to God? What happened to God being glorified and honored? What happened to the idea that what God desires is for us to worship him? Whatever happened to God? What made it all so man-centered, even in places where we are calling it worship, but it's about how well men do and women do, how great someone sings or speaks? I say, whatever happened to God? It's about meeting God, worshiping God, honoring God, knowing God, adoring God, lifting high the Lord instead of lifting high men. Whatever happened to God? We find ourselves pleading with people, sometimes almost begging people to do the right thing. But honestly, a Christian should do the right thing because of God. But something happened to God. Whatever happened to God? We're supposed to do these things for the Lord. Why don't you sing in the choir? Well, I don't know. Whatever happened to God? That's what we're supposed to do it for. We ought to tell people about the Lord. Well, I don't have... Wait a minute. It's about what happened to God. In the sad condition we find men in, we need to back up and see what has happened to God. What is God's intent and God's purpose in all of this? A man says, you know, I'm going to get an education, get a job, make a lot of money, buy what I want to buy. Then what? You have an inevitable meeting with God. Are you getting to know him? You think you're going to get to know him at the end when you meet him? The believer is to live every day of his life or her life preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. But we don't do that because something has happened to God in our thinking. God has been minimized. Mankind has been maximized. What has happened to God in your life? I want you to hold your place here. Turn with me, please, back to the book of Genesis, where God begins with us, at least. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you read the story of creation, and then you come, please, to the third chapter. And we find where sin entered the bloodstream of all humanity, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Before she can do something evil and wrong and renacious, before she can commit this sin, something has to happen to God in her mind. What happened to God? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden and of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, but God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I want you to mark that expression. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So, they're in a fog now. Something has happened. Something happened to their thoughts of God. Now something horrible has happened to them. But they're going to fix it. They're going to fix it. They understand something's wrong, so they're going to fix it. And this is how they decide they're going to fix it. They saw they're naked, they're ashamed, and so they took things in their own hands and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They're going to fix it. And the same process begins in the life of every person. We decide we're going to fix what's wrong with us. And we try everything imaginable to fix what's wrong with us. Maybe a better education, a higher paying job. Maybe we can find what people are really making money doing this hour. Maybe we think we've learned a little more than some. And we're going to apply all of that. And that's going to be our answer. Maybe even you decide, if I get married, I'll discover the answer there. I'm going to do something to make everything right. And I say to you, in the midst of all of our religious behavior, and religion is always dealing with the external, what ever happened to God? What happened to God? And what we find in Romans chapter 1, where man replaces God in his thinking, is a disease, a contagious disease that we all have, to seek to be the answer and not allow the Lord to be the answer. We develop our own way of thinking. Let's go to the book of James just for a moment. And God plainly points it out to us in the book of James. I know how to handle this. James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Would you mark those words? This wisdom is earthly, sensual, devilish. But we've got the answer. It's not from above. Like Adam and Eve in the garden fixing their situation, they knew it's broken and we're going to fix it. But you can't fix anything and leave God out. As a matter of fact, someone has said, nothing is right until God makes it right. Everything in life is wrong until God makes it right. Think of it. Everything in this world is wrong until God makes it right. He makes it right. He makes it right. You know, if you say something like that, people think, oh, you're just a plain person, a simple thinker. But the one thing about it, if you're a Christian, you know who you are. You know where you're going. You know how you came to know the Lord. There are things you know for sure that the rest of the world doesn't know for sure. Because God helped you know that. The Bible says in verse 17, verses 16 and 17 in James 3, where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. That's what results from our efforts to make it right. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I want to show you one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, this is one we ought to memorize, all of us. As we talk about the Lord, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure they are and were created. What about God? The big hit today in so-called church work, which most of the time is not God's work, the big hit today in religion, which is an external thing, and it's not genuine conversion, but the big thing to do is just that, big. Make it big. Make it appealing. Show what you can do. Crave the applause of the world. You're in a meeting and you've got people who can play the instruments better than other people or as well as anyone else in the whole wide world. So someone says, man, they're good. They're good. They might even say, they're as good as people I've seen on television, or they're as good as I have seen people who are professional. They're good. And then the most suave and sophisticated things are said. The most appealing things, always conscious not to offend, but just to please. And I want to say to that crowd, whatever happened to God that we are to adore, to worship, to please? Whatever happened to God? This is an expression I want to pass along to you and use it. Whatever happened to God? People say, I found something I want to do. Good. Well, whatever happened to God? Is it what he wants? Well, this is a decision I've determined I'm going to make. Oh, that's good. But did it start with God? Whatever happened to God in the decision-making process? I think this will make everybody happy. The goal is not to make everybody happy. The goal is to please God and do what is right, and God will make you happy in His time. You see, all along the line, and in every decision we make, in every action we take, we're not just to consider God, it's to begin with God and who He is. So I say to you, raising your family, directing your life, deciding you're going to do what you're going to do, you can make everybody in the world happy and still displease the Lord. What about God? If we go back to creation, God said, I want you to know something. I created you for one purpose. And the purpose is for my pleasure. You were created for my pleasure, not your pleasure, my pleasure. Let me read the verse again. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hardly anyone in the ministry ever talks to me without asking, what size is your church? How many people go to your college? How many people come to your academy? Tell me about your offerings. Because we've been conditioned with the wrong objectives and the wrong goals. I say to you, whatever happened to God? What does God want? Sure, I want to reach as many people as possible, but I don't want to do anything for people that displeases the Lord. We're here to worship God, to honor God, to exalt God, to lift high His holy name. It matters 1,000 times more what you think about God than what you think about me. You say, well, I appreciate the pastor saying that. But let me tell you, let's take it a little further. It matters 1,000 times more what your children think of God than what they think of you. Now, they ought to think the right thing of you. But what do they think of God? Whatever happened to God in the mind of your children? Sometimes God is used as a prohibitor. That's about all He amounts to in the lives of many people. We can't do that because, wait a minute. It's God's desire that we be happy, that we be joyous. That's God's desire. But we go about it the wrong way. We sow our fig leaves together and make our own way, and God has another way where we confess to Him our sinfulness and receive His righteousness and the forgiveness of our sin. There is no way to find what God has designed us to find in this world and leave God out. There's no way God will ever be pleased with any church if it substitutes anything idolizing or magnifying people for the true worship of the Lord God Almighty. We're to die to self. It's Christ who's to live. I just want you to think in every decision you make, in every action you take, you have to begin with God. What about God? You ever notice when people come to know the Lord and get excited about it? When they ask God to forgive their sin and come to know Christ as Savior? You ever notice how active they become for the Lord for a period of time? Dr. Lee Robertson said to me once, you will find in your ministry that 6 weeks or maybe 6 months maximum after a person gets saved, they'll lead more people to the Lord in that first 6 weeks or 6 months max as they will the entire rest of their lives. I wonder why. Because it's about God. It's not about men. What about God? Now, I have some things I want to share with you from God's Word to lead into this, to help us as a church. But I want you to pray for me, that my spirit will be right, that I'll be dead to self, and I'll seek with my whole heart to honor the Lord. But I want you to be a person sitting, listening, wherever you go, to think, what about God? Somebody says, she sang beautifully. What about God? Was it about the Lord? We sing hymns. Somebody says, oh, that was great, exciting. Well, what about God? The choir sings, what about God? The instrumentalist plays, fine performance. Well, what about God? There should be a time in that instrumentalist's life where he or she thinks, all that matters is that I do this in a way that honors God and magnifies his name. What about God? And the real test is for the pastor and anyone else to be more concerned about people saying, I really came to know the Lord in a better way because of what you did, what you said. In other words, it was about God and not about men. We are facing a great crisis in America, in American churches. Christianity has been conquered by American churches. And we have seen before our very eyes developed a style of something called Christianity that has become a substitute for genuine Bible Christianity. And the danger is that the greatest number of people will begin to believe that's really Christian faith, and the other is all outdated, out of tune, disjointed, old stuff nobody longer needs. We just have to face one question. What ever happened to God? It's not about the great speaker or the great singer or the suaveness of the service or the flow of things. It's all about God. Don't let that happen in your life, in your worship, in your home, in your service. It's all about whatever happened to God. Let's pray, may we? Father, move mightily in our midst and give us discernment. Give us a discerning heart and also the joy. Deliver us from being people who just live on criticism, finding fault, picking everything to pieces. Dear God, help us to rise above all of that and live the victorious Christian life in the power of Thy Holy Spirit and find the joy that is promised us as we seek to please Thee and live our lives for Thy pleasure, to worship Thee and Thee alone in spirit and in truth. Guide us in this church, in our homes, in our personal lives. Guard us from our own life of self-tyranny. Help us, Jesus. In Thy name we pray.